Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. I'm Dr. Richard Friend, and today we welcome Dr. Thad Olson, a child and adolescent psychiatrist at University Medical Center. Dr. Olson is also working to enhance care and services provided by Brewer Porch Children's Center, which became part of UA's College of Community Health Sciences in October. Brewer Porch, located here in Tuscaloosa, provides behavioral health care for children and adolescents locally and from across Alabama. Let's listen as Dr. Olson talks about the care currently provided and how that care and other services at Brewer Porch will be expanded in the future. Welcome to this special edition of Health Matters with your host, Leslie Skiner.
We are here today with Dr. Thad Olson, who is a professor and chair of the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Medicine at the University of Alabama College of Community Health Sciences. Dr. Olson is also a practicing psychiatrist at University Medical Center, which the college operates. So welcome, Dr. Olson, and thank you for joining us for this special topic podcast. The focus of our discussion today is Brewer Porch Children's Center. And Brewer Porch is located in Tuscaloosa, and it provides behavioral health care and educational services for children, adolescents, and their families. So first, let's start by hearing a little bit about you and your roles at the College of Community Health Sciences and University Medical Center.
I've been at the college for maybe 16 years. Or soon to be 16 years. As you said, I'm the chair of the Department of Psychiatry. I'm also the associate dean for academic affairs. And I've basically been building the Department of Psychiatry since I arrived, and I was the only psychiatrist there 16 years ago. So it's much bigger now. I grew up in Africa largely. I was born in Ghana, but I grew up in Ghana some, Zambia, Lesotho, and Kenya. And I went back to medical school in Ghana. And then after that, I worked in Ghana for 2 years as a general practitioner in primary care. And then I went to Canada, University of Toronto, to do my psychiatry residency. And I subspecialized in child and adolescent psychiatry and did a fellowship in clinical psychopharmacology. So that's sort of my training.
And what led you to medicine? You mentioned that you were a general practitioner, and then you specialized in psychiatry. So what led you to choose a career in medicine and then to specialize in psychiatry?
Yeah, it could have gone any. I was one of these kids who was interested in everything, and I still am. So I was actually struggling with whether I should go to law school or medical school because I was very interested in the humanities as well. And so I suppose in the end, psychiatry gives me that comfort of living both in science, in neuroscience, but also living in society. You know, so I think if you had asked me that 40 years ago, I couldn't have told you that. But that's the process that I think I went through. I was very interested in public health policy, that sort of thing, population health. And eventually, because I do like talking to people, I sort of ended up becoming a psychiatrist. So,
and within psychiatry, you specialize in child and adolescent psychiatry,
right?
Or subspecialize in that. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And why that subspecialty? What interested you about that?
Yeah. So, you know, child psychiatry is, as I've said in different places before, is really, in my mind, it's preventative psychiatry or public health psychiatry, because about, let's say, 20% of children generally would, up to about 20% of children, most populations would have mental health, emotional, or behavioral problems. So that's a lot. Only about 2 to 5% of them actually get the care that they need. So that's sort of our big context. And also, the majority of adult psychiatric problems actually begin when people are young. So if we're able to identify them when they're young, then we're able to intervene, then we prevent some of the problems that occur in adults. So that's why I say it's preventative psychiatry, because about 50% of adult psychiatric problems begin at about the age of 14 or earlier. And about 75% of problems will begin when people are younger than 24. So psychiatry is really a young person's issue, when you think about it longitudinally.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of those issues, those mental health issues or behavioral health issues that children at that young age are facing that could potentially stay with them into adulthood if they don't get care and treatment? What are the kind of things that they're dealing with?
Yeah, I think it's a broad spectrum of things, because some issues are sort of genetically driven and just express themselves earlier in children. But then, of course, a lot of mental health issues really are an interaction between the person and the family system and the society in general. So issues like trauma, for example, are very common antecedents to problems later on for children. And also issues that are related to maybe suboptimal parenting, because maybe parents themselves may have issues that have not been addressed. So it's complex, but it's a classic sort of biopsychosocial framework in understanding these issues.
And you mentioned that a very small percentage of children who are experiencing these mental health issues, whether they're caused biologically or because of the environment or abuse and neglect, that a low percentage of them actually are cared for or have access to care.
Right.
Why is that?
Many reasons. First of all, mental health in general is under-resourced. And then the care of children is even further under-resourced. So it's just that I think policymakers still don't understand that applying resources earlier saves all of us greater burden and costs later. Yeah. But I think we're getting there. People are beginning to understand it more and more.
And I would imagine it's a multifaceted challenge. You mentioned policymakers, but I would imagine there's also an insurance component, and then there need to be providers and healthcare professionals who are...
Yeah,
who
you can... raise a good point, because the care of children is more complicated. Sort of, it involves educators, it involves psychiatrists, it involves social workers, it involves psychologists, occupational therapists, speech therapists. It's a really interdisciplinary approach to give children everything that they need. So it is more expensive. Yes.
Sounds like it takes a big team.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It takes a whole country, not a village.
And that leads us into our topic today, which is Brewer Porch Children's Center.
Right.
That center has been part of the University of Alabama for, I think, since the 1970s. It was previously with the College of Arts and Sciences, but recently, as of October, moved under the umbrella of the College of Community Health Sciences, where you are and where your department is located. So can you tell us about the center, why it was originally established, what its mission is?
Yeah, I think it's a very valuable unit of the university for some of the reasons we've already talked about. Many intensive treatment programs for children are for-profit organizations. Some of them are non-profit but freestanding. But this is one that is within the ambit of a university, which means that it allows us to have access to all those disciplines that I mentioned very easily, all under the same tent, so that the children really have access to everybody that they need to plan and support their care. It also means that it has the potential to be a place where we can test out different interventions in well-controlled ways of studying to see what outcomes are depending on our intervention. So there are very few places available like that for that kind of research as well. I'm happy that it's in our college now and within my department, because I think that our mission is very aligned as a population health guided college. Even in mental health, children's mental health is really the core of population mental health.
So it sounds like the university back in the 1970s might have been a little ahead of its time.
It was.
By creating this center, mm-hmm. and making it part of the university.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I imagine that there will be opportunities, as you mentioned, to look at outcomes, but opportunities to possibly develop new models of clinical care for children who are suffering from these mental health issues.
Yes, I really think so. I think that it is a great opportunity for us to compare different interventions, you know, that sort of thing. Look at even ways of educating children who are in these circumstances. And it also allows us as a college through Brewer's Porch to be more connected to the school system with respect to partnership around the care of children, even in the community, so that we can maybe intervene in a more organized way in the schools before children really need the intensive kind of care that Brewer Porch Center provides. You'd ideally want to prevent children from coming to Brewer's Porch. But so I think that it offers us the opportunity to do that, and we have already started conversations with the city and the county around reimagining our relationship. These relationships have been there before, but it gives us an opportunity to sit down again and look at what the needs are now and what CCHS can bring to the, you know, the educational sector around children who really are in need of help and are exhibiting problems in the community.
And it sounds like that the College of Community Health Sciences can also draw on other disciplines across campus.
Yes.
Even with those community relationships. I'm thinking maybe the College of Education and
Social Work.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Arts and Sciences, Psychology, mm-hmm. Other fields, yes.
And pulling from those disciplines, you'll not only get faculty, but will there also be learners, students, undergraduate students and graduate students who will also have an opportunity to maybe do some rotations or have some shadowing experiences or other kind of learning experiences at Brewer Porch?
Absolutely. And I think Brewer Porch has already done that for years. They've had a number of different graduate students, undergrad students. And so we are actually looking at models of community intervention and care that will involve students with their supervisors. That's one of the things. When I talk about the schools, for example, that's a great placement for psychology graduate students, social work students, if we can configure it so that we can combine learning and service in a healthy way for the benefit of the community.
And you mentioned community and schools. Mm-hmm. Among the services that Brewer Porch provides, there's both residential care, but there's also outpatient care. Is that correct?
Right. There is outpatient care, which is largely an education day treatment program so that children who still, you know, are not able to be educated within the context of a regular school environment can get their education at Brewer Porch with more resources available to support them.
And is one of your goals to also reach out into the schools? So for children who are there, and it sounds like that's what you're planning to do.
So we're planning to add a community component to what Brewer Porch already is doing. In a big way, if we're able to get all the pieces together. And I think everybody sees the importance of it, so things are moving pretty quickly.
And what age groups of children can receive care or can be cared for at Brewer Porch? Is there a certain age?
Yeah, I think it's from 6 to 18, essentially.
And are the services just provided to children locally, or does Brewer Porch have a broader reach than that?
It has a statewide catchment area, okay. Yes. It's unique in that respect.
Okay. And does Alabama have other facilities and programs like Brewer Porch in other parts of the state?
Yes, there are other residential programs scattered around the state. Most of them are privately run, as I had mentioned before.
And if you can tell us, going back to your department, the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Medicine, which I imagine will be very involved in the operation of Brewer Porch and providing the care there. Tell us a little bit about your department. You're a psychiatrist. What other kind of faculty do you have in the department? What are their specialty areas?
So we are a multidisciplinary department, which we should be for. That's the behavioral medicine part of it. So we do have psychologists who actually, fortunately for us, I think already have an interest in trauma and a lot of experience in trauma-related issues. Also some who have you know, a lot of experience in, you know, childhood behavior issues as well, which we have been dealing with just broadly on an outpatient basis. So we have psychologists who do assessments of children at Brewer Porch, which maybe before might have been purchased or contracted elsewhere. So I think we're going to be able to do a lot under one roof. Of the psychiatrists, there are right now five of us. Four of us are child and adolescent psychiatrists, as it turns out. So I think we are all going to have a role to play in different aspects of the Brewer Porch program as we reconfigure it. We also have social work, which is really a division under our department.
And your department and your faculty in your department are also practicing providers at University Medical Center.
That's right.
That's right. And being connected to University Medical Center, will that enable to, and University Medical Center is a multi-specialty healthcare provider, not only providing care in psychiatry and behavioral medicine, but also family medicine, pediatrics, internal medicine, different specialties like right. that. Will those areas also be included maybe in some of the care that's provided at Brewer Porch? Will there be some physical healthcare that children will also have access to?
Yes, we've already actually started that. Dr. Ogden, who is a family physician who's had additional year of training in psychiatry, did a fellowship in our department, will be responsible for primary care there and is ideally suited to do that because of her dual training. So children at Brewer Porch previously had to be transported out for a lot of their primary care needs, but now with our involvement, we're going to be able to provide most of that right there.
That sounds like that will be a good benefit for the children there as well. So can you, for our listeners who might not be familiar with Brewer Porch, can you kind of explain generally the services that are currently provided and what you hope to do there in terms of maybe expanding those services, adding more services to make Brewer Porch into a kind of facility you would like for it to be?
Well, right now, I think the two broad programs, they're all residential programs. The intensive treatment program is a 36-bed program for children who stay there for long-term stay, which would be more than, say, 4 months. And then there is a STEP program, which is a short-term treatment program for 6 to 12-year-olds, which is like 1 to 3 months. So those are the core programs, and then the outpatient program. In terms of other things that might happen there programmatically. I've talked about some of the community and prevention programs already. The school board has indicated to us that they'd love it if we could have a preschool program because they're seeing a lot of very young children who really require support that is not possible in schools. So that's one of the things that we're looking at in the short term. We're also looking at ways of engaging families more as much as possible when their children are there. So if we can offer family therapy to the families while their children are there and plan with the families for the, you know, discharges when the time comes. So we're looking at increasing that, also looking at maybe possibly at having more case management so that the therapists can focus on therapy and not have to double as case managers as well. And then the third, but not the least, is that we would love to be able to have a crisis response team available to the community so that if a child has a problem at school, they're not picked up in an ambulance and sent to an emergency room, which I think is pretty traumatic for a child that's already distressed. So we'd like to be able to have a team out of Brewer Porch that can actually respond to these crises that might be emergent in the schools. Some of that already occurs through the mental health center, but there is a whole lot more need than we're able to respond to. So we're going to partner with them as well and try to be more responsive to the schools and the community. Then there are a lot of other possibilities, such as in-home support for families who have children who have difficulties that they're not able to deal with. That would, again, come under the community outreach part. So there are a variety of things that we would really like to be able to do. And part of the crisis response could involve having a very short stay crisis program at Brewer Porch, less than 1 month, so that these young folks don't have to be transported to inpatient psychiatric units in Birmingham or Gadsden or a whole lot of other places. Right now, children who need psychiatric care suffer an immediate trauma of being separated from their families when they most need their families. And so we're trying to figure out if we can eliminate that from our interventions using what resources are available at Brewer Porch in terms of physical facilities and also, of course, the well-trained multidisciplinary team that's already there. We're also looking at having more or less a full-time medical director there in the new year. Mm-hmm. So a lot of work.
A lot of plans. And it sounds like maybe more outreach to the community than may have existed in the past.
Yes.
And like you said, that probably ties in with that preventive public health mm-hmm. aspect of psychiatry,
yes.
which is the focus on the children and trying to alleviate some of those issues at the beginning as opposed to into adulthood. So it sounds like that's going to take an awful lot of people. like you said, it's going to take a country, not a village.
Yes.
But I imagine this will also provide opportunities for good exposure for UA students and graduate students.
Oh, yes.
To, if they participate in this, we'll get good experiences.
Yeah. So all of these plans offer training opportunities for learners across numerous disciplines in health and human services, across the university.
Do you know of other universities across the country that might have similar programs like this, that might have a facility for children's mental health embedded within the university?
I'm not sure, but I'll tell you, it's in another country. Part of my training in psychiatry was at a unique center like that in Toronto. So that's why I'm very comfortable with this, because earlier in my career, I was exposed to a place like Brewer Porch in Toronto, which was able to have great impact on the community. And I think that Brewer Porch can do very much the same thing. They're quite rare. I'm sure there are a few around the country, but not as many as maybe there should be.
And you mentioned that there are facilities like Brewer Porch in the state and in other parts of the country that are for-profit or freestanding. Can you explain freestanding? I'm not sure if I'm familiar with that.
Freestanding as in they're not connected to an academic institution.
But it would really benefit, it sounds like it would really benefit children and their families particularly to have a facility available to them that is similar to a Brewer Porch.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So the move of Brewer Porch, its transition from the College of Arts and Sciences to the College of Community Health Sciences, how did that come about?
I think it took a number of years of our questioning why we were, for example, providing psychiatric services to Brewer Porch as contractors within the university. and really, that work was very much aligned with our college's mission. And we were working there, but they were living in another college. So it was just logical that we should discuss it and say, look, really, maybe this should be in health sciences, even though we don't know how it was placed in arts and sciences to start with. I don't know the history, but it may have made sense at that time. And I can see how it probably made sense because arts and sciences has psychology and other disciplines that have a bearing on this. And our departments of psychiatry then probably did not see children. So now we have a department that is brimming with child and adolescent psychiatrists. And so really, this is really, what we love to do anyway.
Do you see the possibility of the physical capacity of Brewer Porch expanding, not just the services that are provided, but also the physical plant?
Yeah, well,
to accommodate more children.
Yeah, well, that's a dean question.
So true.
But I'll say, Broport has a lot already. But as we devise new programs, as part of our college's strategic planning, if something like that definitely makes sense, I'm sure that there's room for that.
Now, we talked early on about the small number of children who need this type of care and who need these types of services, that there's just a small percentage of children who receive this treatment, right, or who have access to this treatment. What can you give us a feel for, kind of from a policy perspective or from a national perspective, why this is the case? And do you see movement in the future to put more emphasis on having this kind of care available to children, making it available, making it a priority?
Yeah, because about 1 in 5 children in the community will need mental health intervention of some sort. That's a lot of children, and so my personal bias is that it'd be great if primary care physicians at least were supported in their training to be able to address some of the more common problems so that the children and the families can get all their treatment, both physical and psychiatric, from their primary physician as a starting point. Okay, so I'm always thinking about psychiatrically informed primary physicians. That's the first place, because for many places, the primary care physician is their only access to healthcare, both general healthcare and mental health care. So that's one of our department's primary missions in the college, okay? Because that's the reality. And then if children have greater needs that cannot be addressed in the primary care context, then we move to day treatment programs and intensive, treatment programs like this. But overall, that's also why only a very small percentage of children do get real evidence-based treatment. So the 20% of children have the need, and only 2 to 3% actually do get the care. The rest of the care is fairly randomly distributed across numerous disciplines, social work therapists, psychologists, general practitioners, other, or general psychiatrists who are seeing children because there aren't enough child psychiatrists. That's the landscape of children's mental health.
How can that be changed? Is it an issue where there need to be more providers, or there needs to be more resources, financial resources, insurance coverage, those kinds of things? I imagine there's probably multiple factors that contribute to this.
I think in a general sense, the direction to move in is closer collaborations between all disciplines and agencies that have impact on children. So which means schools, mental health centers, academic institutions, juvenile corrections for adolescents, all of us have to be at the table in a community to have more wraparound and more seamless services for children, so that if a child needs to move from one section to another, they don't have to knock at another door and go through another whole rigmarole before they can get in. So that, for me, that would be the big picture. More collaboration, and ease of movement, depending on need for the children and their families.
Mm-hmm. And that might be different from community to community.
And that's why I think in every community, people need to get together and figure out what works best. But it still has to be a collaborative, otherwise it's not going to work.
Right. Yes. And it sounds like that's what you all are working to do with Broport.
Broport, that's where that's the direction we're trying to move in.
Good. And what happens to, you mentioned 20% of children need this kind of care, only 2% get it. So those in between
get
as
something.
They get something. And as they grow into adulthood, what kind of challenges they might they face if they haven't gotten
a lot of them become the adults that general psychiatrists see with psychiatric problems. So this is why we think that early intervention is so important. Because just to go further, when you look at disease burden, psychiatric illnesses carry a greater disease burden than conditions that we generally worry about, like cancer, or if they're serious. But even if you have a cancer, you get treated, and there's a beginning and there's an end, right? Hopefully a good end, and you move on. But with mental health conditions, they tend to be chronic and continue and cost the person the ability to work, you know, to participate in society. So even though cancer is a serious illness, you can get treated and still get back into society and contribute, you know. So that's where the burden of mental health illnesses are. It's what it costs the individual who has the illness in terms of lost productivity, and of course costs society also because of lost productivity. And then it costs families of these individuals further lost productivity, because sometimes people have to stop what they're doing to help look after somebody who has a serious mental condition as an adult, right? So that's where places like Brewer Porch become very important, because they can prevent those kinds of outcomes if we're able to do something for children when they're much younger.
And it sounds like Brewer Porch has had an important impact on children who have received care there mm-hmm. since the 1970s.
Yes, yes.
And you see that even, you see Brewer Porch, now that it is part of the College of Community Health Sciences in your department, being able to do even more for children.
Yes, I think so.
Is there anything else that you would like to add that you are doing there or are planning to do there that we haven't touched on yet?
Okay. Yeah, I think there are a few other things, mostly, again, related to our engagement with the community. So we're hoping to have an advisory board that would include university members, community members for Brewer Porch to guide us in our community engagement efforts. And also, children's mental health is something that, you know, people are generally very worried about and tuned into. So we hope that we will be able to do some fundraising to support some of the plans that we have that might not ordinarily be easily funded otherwise.
And it sounds like those efforts in particular will help with what you mentioned previously about bringing more people to the table, having more people at the table, and a more seamless process for children who need this type of care.
So we're hoping that, yeah, something like an advisory board will really help move things in the right direction with the right players as quickly as possible.
Well, thank you. I think this has been a great discussion and a great topic, and I'm sure we'll have you back for more podcasts as the work continues at Brewer Porch, now that it's under your department and you've got a lot of plans underway for the facility. So appreciate your time with us today and look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit umc.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, and Demopolis.